beautiful.
Of course I do. I'm a princess and this is my tiara.
On Wednesdays, we wear pink.
I'm ready to party.
Oh, yeah.
This is The Weekly Reveal with Jade Springart, Ann Carlini, Lynn Kuhn, and Erica Banis.
Hey, the four of us are back together again.
Reunited and it feels so good.
Every time I say that, I think like we should have the beginning to like a 70s sitcom. It's like you know,
Vern and Shirley?
The four of us. Although there was kind of a sitcom about four women called Sex and the City.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say the Golden Girls.
Maybe you've heard of it.
I thought you were talking about the Golden Girls.
Did you see my Golden Girls dolls at my desk, by the way?
I did.
Thank you.
Yeah.
They're really cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
That's right.
Thank you. They're really cool.
So this past week, of course, the big news is the Cubbies taking the World Series, which, you know, I think as the World Series went on and, you know, it got to the seventh game, by then everybody had jumped on the bandwagon either for the Cleveland Indians or the Chicago Cubs, but it just got to be such an awesome, awesome World Series.
Yeah.
You know, because then people who normally would not follow the World Series, all of a sudden, you know, the information started to leak out. Oh, you know, everybody has a bad century. That famous quote, considering the Cubs had not won a World Series in 108 years, you know, and then the Cleveland Indians since 1945. And then, you know, it wasn't so much about the celebrities, which I really loved. I hate that when, you know, you're trying to watch the game and they're showing the wives in the stands or the celebs. It really became about Bill Murray.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He was all over it, man.
I was more happy for Bill Murray than I really was for the Cubs.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just like, oh, Bill Murray. I mean, how do you hate Bill Murray?
Eddie Vedder was out there.
I mean, yay for Eddie Vedder, but Bill Murray.
There was a lot. John Cusack. And then, of course, Charlie Sheen out there for the Indians.
Oh, he's crazy ass.
I'm pretty sure he was drunk after the game and had that video was posted of him being like, they should have let me throw the first pitch. Then we would have won. Although, I will be honest with you, I kind of agree. Because that movie was so iconic, right?
Major
League, and you know, Wild Thing with him walking out, like that would have gotten that crowd just pumped, right? It would have really I don't even know who ended up throwing out the first pitch.
Yeah, I don't remember either.
But that would have, I mean, it would have gotten them going, and then of course they hit that home run in the first inning, the Cubs did, and it was just like wah, wah, wah. And so I of course was rooting for the Cubs, so.
Yeah, I have an aunt who since passed away, but she actually was in the newspaper because her entire house was dedicated to Cubs memorabilia.
Aww.
Nice.
Yeah, because my mother's from Illinois.
Huh.
And so, yeah, so we had a little personal thing going on for the Cubbies. I was really happy to see them go all the way. And even though we do have some people who work here who are from Cleveland, oh, I had to come in and say, oh, I'm so sorry.
I didn't acknowledge it at all.
You didn't even acknowledge
like,
it?
Mm-hmm. Well, when the Cavs, because of course, if Cleveland would have won, then Cleveland would have gotten two championships in one sports season with the Cavs having won the NBA championship earlier this year. So when the Cavs were in the finals, I was in Cedar Point with said person who is from Ohio, and he was upset because it wasn't game 7, but they were losing, and we were all drunk having ourselves a good old time, and he's upset because the Cavs are losing, and I don't know, I must have made some sort of comment because I had eventually tweeted out, I hope the Cavs win just so I don't get fired. And then, of course, they went on to win it. So I was like, I am not even talking about the Indians because F you, Indians.
The Cleveland Cavaliers looked totally bored at the game. I think LeBron near the end showed some emotion.
But, yeah, he showed emotion when they tied it back up. Otherwise, he was like on his phone and looking at bitches' booties.
And then on top of that, Back to the Future almost called it correctly. Said 2015.
Parks and Rec did call it correctly.
Though. Is that right?
Yeah,
that's awesome. And that kid in that yearbook.
Which one?
I was just getting ready
there
to
was
say
a kid who was a senior back in 1993. And, you know, back then you could put a quote.
Yeah.
And his quote said, Chicago Cubs World Series 2016.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Like, what a coincidence. And then he, of course, is now internet famous, and I am yet to be internet famous. So,
one day. Well, Bono's famous enough for sure, but he's about to, he may get a distinction that I don't think he ever saw coming. None of us did. U2 frontman Bono may be the first male ever to appear on Glamour magazine's Woman of the Year list. Yes, he could be termed man of the year, but that's not really what this is all about. And, you know, they said that this is to empower women, promote gender equality. I don't know. They mentioned so much in this statement from Glamour magazine. Poverty is sexist. Women suffer much more than men in impoverished nations. It's like, where are you going with this?
This is all just for publicity. I'm just going to put that out there. Glamour magazine's dying.
Well,
so there it is.
Most of the print industry is dying, but as part of Bono's One campaign, they did launch a component to the campaign called Poverty is Sexist, and they've been doing a lot of great work with, you know, women and women's groups in third world countries. And, you know, yeah, is it a publicity stunt? Of course. But, I mean, yay for good work and helping out those in need.
Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I'm not against that at all. I think it's awesome that they, you know, are bringing awareness to all that sort of stuff. But at the end of the day, because you know what I'm saying? Like, it's women, the list of women. But thank God this man is helping with all the women problems. Like, okay.
Well, they say there's so many men who are really doing wonderful things for women these days. Some get it, and Bono is one of those guys. Okay, that's wonderful, but Glamour is a woman magazine, and don't say it's Woman of the Year. Just give him the distinction and say we'd like to, you know, this is our Woman of the Year, but we were going to put Bono on the cover as well to share it. How about the Man and Woman of the Year?
Right.
Why don't they share the cover? I mean, it just, I don't know. To me, it's kind of backhanded compliment.
Right.
It's like there is no Woman of the Year. We have to give it to a man, yet we're all about women.
He's on the list. There's other women being honored, like Simone Biles and Gwen Stefani and people who are part of the Black Lives International group.
Is it like a countdown, or is it just like we're recognized? You know what I'm saying?
It's just a group of people that they're honoring. It's kind of like when People magazine does their Most Beautiful People issue.
Gotcha.
Like they have like a main person they honor, and then they're like, oh, here's a bunch of other pretty people. Woohoo!
Right.
Yeah, I just don't think that it. Maybe it just wasn't presented the right way. You know, and it kind of like took away exactly what you're saying, Erica, is that they're doing all this good, and Bono definitely is a part of that. They kind of demean their own, you know, flag waving in a way. It's like, hey, look what we're doing by saying Bono's a man of the year. Now all of a sudden we're talking about gender instead of what Glamour magazine is doing that's good.
Well, I mean, when you talk about feminism as a whole, it's about equality for both genders. So I don't really see what's wrong with it.
I just think that, I agree, I don't think there's anything wrong with it. We're honoring people that are doing good. There's, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like it's an all positive thing. The problem is that at the end of the day, it really is a publicity stunt, because how are you putting a man on a Woman of the Year list? You know what I'm saying? And it's like, oh, well, he's going to be a man and, you know, we appreciate him, you know, but that's now everyone's talking about it. Like, oh, they're putting a man on the Woman of the Year list because of all the things he does for women. You know, I don't think it's bad. I think it's all, you know, positive, you know, but it's like Anne said, it's like the wording of it to me is just like a little like, okay, like, all right.
Well, yeah. That's exactly.
Because, I mean, are there any women on any Man of the Year list? And then if there
is
a woman.
Whose fault is that?
Well, the people who make the list.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, too, is society, in my opinion, if you put a woman on a Man of the Year list, like, oh, God, then you know what I'm saying? Like, well, is it because she's ripped? Is it because she looks like a man? You know what I'm saying? Like, it's murky. Murky.
Well, exactly those murky words. Publicity stunt has a very negative connotation
right
to it. And mm-hmm. You using those words to me tells me that they just defeated the purpose. Because if that's how it's perceived,
right,
then you're not doing anything. You're not doing yourself any favors.
No, but I do think that, you know, I appreciate that, like Erica said, feminism is not about hating men. It's about equality.
Exactly.
And so it's appreciated. And it's not anything against Bono, because I don't think that he went to Glamour and was like, hey, you know what you should do? You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't think that that was him. And it's awesome that he does all the positive things he does. But for Glamour magazine, like Lynn said, it's kind of dying. And you know, how can we get people talking about our articles and about our things? And this is a great tool because everyone's talking about it. So
if we were talking about it on the show, I would never talk about this or think twice. I would see it on the stand and be like, oh, cool. And then move on.
You got to go to a lot of magazine stands.
Well, you know, they're out there. They're out there when you go grocery shopping or anywhere that sells anything.
Yeah, because you and I are up to date on grocery shopping.
Well, I predict that he will be on the cover.
You think?
Yes.
Interesting. We'll revisit when that issue comes out.
Yes. Well, who is on the cover of Vanity Fair magazine?
Can we not? Can we not revisit the issue when it comes
out? Oh, okay. Is Adele. The 28-year-old singer told Vanity Fair that she says that the worst decision of her life after having her son Angelo was spending time alone. Well, she said, wait a minute, let me rephrase this. She called having her son Angelo the worst decision. I think that's what it says. She says she eventually had to spend some time alone in order to overcome her postpartum depression. Well, women who have suffered from postpartum depression often view that as having a child as the worst decision they've ever made, because it is a very, very serious thing. Brooke Shields is another celebrity who suffered with that to the point where she said she was almost suicidal. And that was the infamous argument she had with Tom Cruise, because Tom Cruise, being a Scientologist, said, well, you just didn't take enough vitamin C. And Brooke Shields went ballistic and said, excuse me.
Right. Tom Cruise can take a little vitamin F, you.
Yeah, and that's basically what she said. And so did, you know, thousands of other women who suffered from this as well. She says she was obsessed with her child, but she felt inadequate. She felt like she had made the worst decision of her life because she just didn't feel like she could be a mom. And she said she also cut back on her drinking and quitting smoking. She says having a hangover with a child is torture, and I can attest to that.
Yeah, having a hangover in general is torture, let alone with a kid.
She said she used to be a massive drinker, but now only indulges in 2 glasses of wine a week. Adele is so forward, so open. I think there was also some type of article where it said that she used the F word multiple 20, times, 28 times in the Vanity Fair magazine. They didn't bother to delete it. But anybody who follows Adele knows that this is her.
Right. This is who she is.
Right.
It's good for her to talk about it. A lot of people don't talk about postpartum depression. My whole family, like, runs in my family. My mom said she had it with after every one of us that were born. So I, like, grew up knowing what it was. But to a lot of people, they don't know how serious that is or what the term even means. So, yeah, Adele, she'll always speak her mind. We love her.
Yes.
And I'll be her baby daddy.
And her being in her late 20s, too, I think she speaks to a whole generation of women who are just experiencing that for the first time. Right. You know, and will pay attention to what she says. And, yeah, it definitely has to be addressed, because, you know, for women who are struggling, it's like, you know, get some help, you know, this, you know, talk to people about it. It's not just you. And there definitely is something that can be done, because you don't want to, you know, I mean, those first days of having a baby, the first few months are just, it can be hell. And I just can't imagine going through depression on top of that.
So. I just can't imagine even having a kid.
It's a wonderful thing, Jade.
Okay.
Changes your life.
I know for sure.
Bud Light has pulled the plug early on its election-themed ad campaign starring Amy Schumer and Seth Rogen amid declining sales. They really thought that bringing in the two powerhouses for the millennials was going to boost Bud Light sales, and it did not.
It was too political. No one wants anything to do with politics right now,
well,
I feel like.
It wasn't political, really. And to be honest with you, I don't know if the ad campaign, it's the Bud Light party, like... It was a spoof. It wasn't very serious.
Yeah, not politically serious, but it still had to do with politics, which nobody really cares about right now.
I think that the product just needs to not suck.
That's what I really think it is. I think there's a rise in, like, the microbrews, and I think that's really gaining a lot of sales. I don't think, yeah, great, Seth Rogen and Amy Schumer brought down Bud Light. You know, I just think other beers are better.
Yeah, and I think that especially with the millennial crowd, it's like, it's not cool anymore to drink any beer that is not craft, whether it's Bud Light,
I agree,
Miller Light, Coors Light, Labatt Light, Labatt, Budweiser, it doesn't, you know what I'm saying? It's not, if you're that person who goes out to the bar and everyone's like, oh, let me get the stout, let me get that triple IPA, and then you're like, oh, I just need like a Bud Light. And they're like, ugh, you can't hang out with us. You need to drink a craft beer.
But you should see the face they make when I order a Jack and Coke. They really don't want to do that.
Really? What's wrong with Jack and Coke?
Apparently, I'm old.
Apparently, Captain and Coke is lame. Apparently, like if you go to the bar and drink order a Captain and Coke, you don't know anything about alcohol. I'm like, I know that it tastes delicious in my belly.
But does this talk to the power of celeb anymore? I mean, are we saying the decline of that? Because, I mean, we have been many, many years where people like the Kardashians, they live off their brand. Mm-hmm. Many divas make millions of dollars off perfume simply by giving them their name to stamp on the bottle. You know, so when they put forth, you know, Amy Schumer and Seth Rogen, they obviously were hoping that it was going to be the power of their celebrity that brought them, brought Bud Light back up to, you know, where it used to be on top.
The power of the celebrity, though, is in our face every day, all day. If you're on Instagram, Twitter, anything, it's in your face every day. So I guess I could kind of agree with that it has declined a little bit because we're kind of used to it now.
Good point. Like saying every night is legendary, then none of the nights are legendary.
Yeah, before it used to be, you know, if somebody endorsed something, it was awesome. Like, oh my gosh, you know, Jessica Alba's drinking a Pepsi or whatever. But now you're used to that. We're kind of used to that. Oh, here I am drinking my Fit Tea, you know, so.
Well, Bud Light traditionally has always, you know, did the bulk of their advertising in the sports arena.
Right.
And they say that's where they've been the most successful. Obviously, the ad campaign they decided to reach out to millennials failed. So they may be firing their ad agency soon.
Again, I really, in all honesty, feel like it's the product. Like it is, you know what I'm saying? Like
I
think that it depends on what the product is. And unfortunately, Bud Light, Budweiser, Anheuser-Busch, the sales for their product has been declining for years. So it's not just the start of, you know, whenever this ad campaign came out, which I think was around the Super Bowl earlier this year back in February. So they're going to go, you know, Amy Schumer, Seth Rogen will get everyone back on the bandwagon. The problem is that your product has sales have been declining for 2 years, 3 years prior to having come up with this. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, your sales are declining, and they knew that it was because of the micro beers, the micro breweries, the craft beer. That is absolutely 100% the reason why.
Well, they've all been faced with this. I've seen more Miller Lite commercials in the past 6 months than I have probably in my entire life. And, you know, they said in Germany, it's really a big issue that this microbrewery actually had to take... what's the big brewery over there? Not Guinness. It's the other one. Anyway, take the major brewery to court over there because in Germany, it's an actual law that says that the government has to say whether or not what you produce is beer. That's how precious that commodity is to that country. But they said that the very fact that they had just even, it was a small percentage, under 10%, that this brewery were able to sell was enough to send up the red flags. And all of a sudden, they were in court. Mm. So, you know, yes, the microbreweries have been on the rise. But I think it's just now that the traditional beers have seen a cut into their sales enough to, you know, to panic.
Right.
And hire Seth and Amy.
Well, why doesn't, I mean, you can keep your Bud Light and your Budweiser and whatever, but why don't you come up with like a craft beer, Bud? Or do they have it?
Oh, you're going to see. You're going to see much more of that.
Well, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. That doesn't surprise me at all.
But the trick is, how do you mass produce it?
Exactly.
How do you mass produce it on that scale?
And then everybody's going to get upset and be like, what happened to the days when I could just grab a Bud Light? It was so simple.
It's going to be like the new Coke of our era.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, Lynn and I went out last night and I was perusing the craft beer aisle. And she had said something like, just, you know, get like a Coors Light. Like, what's the deal? And it was like, no. Or you had... liquor, maybe, I don't know. Either way, it was like, no, I can't. Like, I've been out multiple times.
Bud Light. I was like, this
but I had been out. I had been out like multiple times this week, and actually, I'd gone out when I went to watch the game 7, and I drank Coors Light all night. And it's like, I didn't have a problem with that. Like, there's nights that's fine, and I can drink like 90 of them because, you know, it's like water, and then I'm real drunk, and it's like cool. Like, I only spent like $4. Awesome. But you know, after doing that, it's like, no, I need some like flavor. Like, I need some. You know, I need something to where it's not going to take me 13 seconds to guzzle the entire thing like a glass of water.
Well, it's definitely flavorful. I mean, there is nothing like a really strong hoppy IPA.
Well, we know you love the IPAs.
Oh my God! My husband says that. Hey, when I pop that top, if my husband can smell it 5 feet away, I know I got a good beer. That's it.
Sounds about right.
Yes. Okay. Coming up on our celebrity report, champagne problems exist between Mariah.
Oh, Mariah.
And her ex-fiance.
Dun, dun, dun.
Coming up next on The Weekly Reveal.
The Weekly Reveal on Riff 2.
You go, girl!
We're back on The Weekly Reveal with Jay, Ann, Lynn, and Erica.
Thanks for tuning in to The Weekly Reveal. All four of us are back and ready to discuss... Oh, the in-depth world of Mariah Carey.
Yes, we talked about her last week, but now TMZ has released the prenup that obviously there was a fight between them. This is ridiculous, you guys. I'm sure in Hollywood, like, it's crazy all the time. But, I mean, I won't give you the whole list, but some of them, just to start it off, was that among some of the conditions, except for gifts between them for their engagement, wedding, or on birthdays and anniversaries, no item of jewelry and or personal adornment costing over $250,000 will be deemed a gift unless accompanied by or followed by a writing specifically stating, "This is my gift to you." He goes on that he's going to give her money for clothes, but Mariah shall provide all clothing for her children. Of course, his lawyer sent this over. Mariah and her team read this and sent it back and said that this is tacky and insulting. It goes on to say that she gets $6 million per year for each full year of marriage, up to a maximum of $30 million. And
how long were they married?
They haven't. This is the prenup. This is all the beginning decisions for them to get married.
And they're not getting married now, though, right?
No, as far as I know, the wedding is off.
Okay.
This caused the fight that set it off. Then the rumor came up that she was sleeping with the choreographer, the gentleman that she was seen out with last week at dinner. But yeah, basically this just went on. If you want to check it out, of course, you can follow us on The Weekly Reveal or go to TMZ.com because the list just, it goes on of all of these really ridiculous things between two really rich people.
Is he a Scientologist?
I did not hear that, but if you look at his face, I would just assume yes. I would just say yes. He looks weird.
He's a billionaire, man. So this, that's why
this prenup was
like
never signed, and they were never married, so it's all kind of null and void, right?
Well, it's not even... I mean,
yeah,
with
them drawing
there.
Up the conditions for them to go over and say, okay, now let's go ahead and sign. That was what his lawyer wrote up. You know, they sent it to her team, and they were like, this guy's crazy. And then he also, part of the clothing was that he would provide her clothing, but it could not be the clothing that she was going to wear to red carpet events or on stage. So he was really adamant about making sure, like, he wasn't helping support her music career in that regard for her wardrobe. Just weird.
And they don't have kids together, right?
No, she has her too.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, he shouldn't have to provide clothes for the kids.
You're marrying a woman. You're marrying a woman with
two
children.
But I'm saying, like, the prenup is for when you get divorced.
Really?
That's what the prenup is for.
Yes.
So he's saying, like, when we get divorced, I'm not going to be providing clothing for your kids because they're not mine.
Well, it states during the marriage that he won't. Provide
during the marriage.
Yeah,
gotcha.
It goes on that he will not provide that. That's why he'll give her the money if they do get divorced. She'll get the $6 million for each year. It's just really, the whole thing is just, I guess, as disgusting as it would be if you were marrying a billionaire, you were going through and figuring out your money. That's scary. I would just never date anyone. Anyways, Nick Cannon, he might be having a baby on the way. He had a girlfriend on the side. We'll find out. Dun, dun, dun.
Was with Mariah?
No, this is, they've been divorced now for a couple of years. So,
really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I am not up to date.
Well, rumors, you know, she's 6 months pregnant.
A prenup is not unusual, and it's a great way to protect yourself, especially when you've worked all your life, and all of a sudden, you know, you've built yourself into a success, and you have a great bank account. That's why we're all working in a way.
Yep.
You know, and then to have someone come across and take it.
Yes.
You know, I mean... Because a lot of these celebrities, you find people are getting married really late in life, you know, and even though some of them have stayed together for years on top of years and never expect to use it, but they just have to. It makes good financial sense. But now you're seeing the ridiculous on top of the ridiculous is that it's not the two of them sitting down and saying, okay, this is it. It just seems like they rush so quick into it. All of a sudden, the lawyers were like, stop.
Yeah.
and collaborate and listen.
Yeah, and that's what happened. Was all of a sudden it wasn't the two of them; it was the lawyers, you know. And then there was the Scientology thing that kind of got into it, and then it just seemed like it was so discombobulated. It's like, really, was there a relationship to begin with?
Right, and then we had talked about last week how that, you know, she makes you wait till you get married, so they haven't even had sex yet. So how do we even know if they're going to be compatible?
That's a whole thing. I don't believe it. Not for one second.
It's Mariah Carey. She's too difficult for me. I need to stop, Mariah.
She is so
high
maintenance.
Just stop. Too difficult.
Go back for one hot second. How did Scientology get brought up into this?
They say that he is.
He's a Scientologist?
That's what they're saying.
Okay. I didn't hear that. That's why I'm like, wait a second. Yeah. When did cults get involved? I'm so confused.
I heard that more than once. That had something to do with it. And of course, you know, they want control over everything.
Oh, totally.
You don't bring anybody into the mix without their okay. And then they continue to monitor the situation after.
Yeah. So weird.
But again, it's her. Mm-hmm. She's crazy.
What problems to have? That's what you're arguing. All the millions, how you're going to split the millions, your wardrobe, your jewelry, like... What a life. What a life to have. Gosh, I wish those were my problems.
I'm going to go walk into traffic.
Somebody who's got major problems, though, Lil Wayne. He was in the news this week. It was huge to me. That was the biggest thing in the news. Lil Wayne was asked on Nightline. He did an interview. He was asked about his stance on Black Lives Matter. In the past, Lil Wayne has been a huge supporter, made a lot of money off of Black Lives Matter. A lot of his songs talking about, you know, how black men are treated differently than the rest of the world. And, you know, a lot of songs, sold a lot of records. And then when he was asked just recently, last week, during an interview with Nightline, he went on to say that if it's something doesn't have anything to do with him, then it doesn't have anything to do with him, that he is a young, rich black man. And if that doesn't say that Black Lives Matter, he doesn't know what does. And all of Lil Wayne fans and anyone in the Black Lives Matter paying attention community was like, what the hell are you doing? How are you going to change your stance on something so big, something that you've protested for and stood up for, and are now saying you have no idea what's going on? In my opinion, it doesn't excuse what he did at all, but he was obviously very high. I know Lil Wayne likes to drink the lean. He likes to drink the codeine, the cough syrup, He was really high. That doesn't excuse it, but he was really high, and he definitely was obvious he didn't want to lose any money. He's doing a lot of stuff, you know, different companies, Pepsi companies and Beats by Dre and what other he did skate endorsements. Lil Wayne is endorsed by everybody, so I don't know what happened, but a lot of people upset with Lil Wayne. He's basically been denounced in the hip-hop community right now. Like, he's not. We're like, get out of here. Go.
I find it interesting how when people speak the truth, how much trouble it gets them into. I saw Wendy Williams talk about a university that was all black, and she made the comment, she goes, wow, she goes, what if we had a university that was all white? We wouldn't like that either. And she, her dialogue's really off the cuff. I mean, she just kind of says the first thing that comes into her head. So, you know, that comment got the head of the NAACP on her couch, and she retracted her statement.
Wendy did?
Yes. And I thought, wow, Wendy, so much for being the rebel.
you're only a rebel until you're not. You know what I'm saying? Well, like, you get in trouble.
Until
and
you bend under peer pressure.
The thing was with
then
Lil Wayne,
all of a sudden you're not.
It was like, well, what happened to your male member? What happened to your dick, Lil Wayne? Because you made a lot of money off of talking about people
suffering.
But he
was being honest. He's self-centered. And right. This is how he truly feels.
So then he's saying that his brand was bullcrap in the first place. The songs that he wrote, he didn't write those lyrics then. So you're selling out just to make some money.
Well, if that's how he feels, then that's how he feels. I mean, and then it's up to everybody else to react to it.
Oh, right. But it's just
then
not
to, like, bring down the peer pressure. You know, I mean, it's one thing if you want to say, hey, F you. But it's like, hey, man, if this is how you feel, own it.
Right. Just expect to lose a lot of your fans.
Otherwise, say, hey, man, okay. You're right, and I'm wrong, and I don't really believe anything I'm saying. I'll just do whatever the group tells me to say.
Right. Well, that's why Wendy, like you said, like, oh, well, you're going to lose all your fans. Well, that's why Wendy retracted what she said, because I'm going to lose all my...
Her credibility in the black community is what the NAACP was threatening her with.
Right.
And, you know, once that happened, she kind of lost credibility with me. Because I thought, wow, Wendy, you're really supposed to be a person who says what they think. And boy, you tout that. You throw that in everybody's face.
Yeah.
And I don't care who I insult. And I don't care how people react. You know, you're quick to damn other people, but then all of a sudden when someone says, I disagree with you, look how quickly you bent. And I mean, it was within a couple of days. It wasn't within months of pressure.
Right.
It took basically a phone call.
What else is going on? Orlando Bloom, he dyed his hair blonde.
I thought he was blonde.
Nope, he's a blonde now. Farrah Abram from Teen Mom. She was one of the women who are part of the many endorsements that we see every day online. Instagram, she had posted a picture of herself drinking some Fit Tea, which is to flatten your tummy, help bloating, promote weight loss. Her daughter, though, was holding the cup. Farrah says that her daughter wasn't drinking the weight loss tea, but Farrah Abram's been in the news for being a crappy mom multiple times. So, Farrah Abram definitely.
Who is Farrah Abram?
Worst mom of the year.
On Teen Mom.
She's part of Teen Mom OG now. She has a sex tape. She also has her own Mommy and Me bathtub
line.
Originally, it started.
Teen Mom originally was, and this was when Jersey Shore
it's been 12 years.
Started.
It's
yeah.
been a long time.
So it started out as 16 and Pregnant. That was like the big MTV show that was glamorizing being 16 and pregnant.
It wasn't glamorizing. It was to show the reality of being 16 and pregnant for the kids.
Which
that
actually,
were watching.
I think it did.
The first season was fascinating, but then the second season, I think. That's when the glamorizing happened.
Yeah. Anyways, so then they have the kids, and now from 16 and Pregnant, we have a show, and now, well, obviously they're going to have kids, and now we've got Teen Mom, and there's your series that's been going on for 12
None
years.
Of
so
them
yeah,
are.
So Farrah was originally 16 and pregnant, had a kid. She's cray, sex tape, boob job, butt plugs, all that sort of stuff, and yeah, no, she went ham. She went ham, if you will, and so yeah, no, she's a real bad mom. But she makes, like, way more money than all four of us combined. So, you know, life goals, right?
Right? So the kid was holding a...
Holding the cup while Tara was holding... While she was holding up the packet
bottle
of Fit Tea.
So what's happening?
Tara,
are they? Is she being...
Tara.
Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Is she being investigated? I mean, are the authorities
just the
coming
internet,
in?
Just the internet police is there to just tell her what a bad mom she is and... how Farrah is just the worst mom ever. She also, when her daughter lost her first tooth, she gave her $500. The internet was mad about that. I think we talked about that when I first started the show. So she's always in there for something stupid. But Farrah's not relevant. She's the one who's most hated. So she has to have stuff out there to get her name out there for stuff like this for us to talk about. It's a good time. That's what's going on in the celebrity world. Kanye West ended up cutting a show short last Thursday. Said that his voice was out. It was his seventh show within 9 days. Boo-hoo. You don't really sing most of your stuff, Kanye. It's a voice tract, but that's cool. It's cool. His voice went out. A lot of people are saying, though, that it was the song My Only One. It was a montage of his kids and Kim, and he actually got choked up and started crying. So they think that was why he actually called the show short. He was just emotionally done.
I heard the Kardashians are back filming again.
Oh, they are. They've been filming. That was the thing. Kanye, though, during it, had said, refund for everyone with your tickets. Y'all get a refund. And now Live Nation was like, hold up. We never, ever gave you permission. First of all, you don't have the authority to say that. And thanks, because now we've got to figure this all out. So now they're in works with his team to figure out how they're going to compensate the people that he told that we're going to get refunds for their tickets.
Well, the show was more than half. They were more than halfway through the show when he stopped.
Yep, they're like, you can't.
You know, I mean, he was on stage for what, like about an hour or so when we went and saw him. And I think he was more than half, like 45 minutes into the show when he ended it. And so Kanye just does what he wants. And it's funny because he's all like, oh, I ain't got no money. Y'all get a refund. And Live Nation's like, oh, is that coming out of your pocket? Oh, because that's not how it works.
Yeah.
And you might be Yeezus to you and your fans, but you're not the CEO of Live Nation, so why don't you just shut the hell up? Just go on up there and act like you're singing and sit in the dark. That's what you're good at.
Yep. That's what's going on in the old celebrity world.
All right. Well, there you have it.
All right. Coming up on the Weekly Reveal. So it looks like they've developed a birth control for men, but will they use it or will they just complain that it doesn't make them feel good? And so, therefore, they're not. So the answer to that question and how a woman made money off her boyfriends and phones coming up next on the Weekly Reveal.
This is the Weekly Reveal.
Here we go. Boom. Shema.
We're back on the Weekly Reveal with Jay, Ann, Lynn, and Erica.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Weekly Reveal. I don't know about you ladies, but I never trusted men with birth control. I always needed to have total control of that myself. But doctors are saying that they do have a male birth control that is pretty much 96% effective as the pill. But when they tested it on men, they had to stop the study. Why? Because men were complaining.
Shock. Oh, man complaining? I'm so shocked.
Yes, they were complaining about mood swings, about weight gain, acne, let's see, heart palpitations, panic. They didn't like the injections. They didn't like that at all. But a few of them complained about...
But you can't go buy condoms, can you?
No. A few of them complained about ED. But they said that actually out of 320 men between the ages of 18 and 45, only 20 seriously complained and only 6 dropped out. And even one of them complained about ED, erectile dysfunction. So the study ended early, but the research, they said, was conclusive that this will work on men.
The research was conclusive that men are little bitches.
Well, I mean, these are all the same side effects that, you know, we've been experiencing with birth control since, you know, the '60s.
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, we just can't handle it. It's like, okay, well, enjoy spreading your seed everywhere then, I guess. Have fun.
That's the funny thing about men with sex is, like, I think that sometimes they don't care. They don't care about spreading their seed. They don't think about the repercussions because they're like, my wiener's hard. I got to put it in something. Don't care what happens after. And then now we've got bastard kids everywhere. Golan.
That's easy for you to say. In men's defense, I mean, because when I had thought, you know what, awesome, men are going to take birth control. This is great. You know, we got double the protection going around. It'll just bring more awareness. Like you said, I think sometimes men aren't, they know they're going to get a baby, but they don't really think about the consequences sometimes. But in their defense, we have grown up with emotional things that happen to our body, hormonal things. We've had that happen, and we've grown up that way. We learned, you know, when you're young and you come into your period and becoming a woman, we learn to cope with those things. To just take a man who's never experienced it and then give him this birth control, I can't see why they were like, wait a minute, I feel all sorts of crazy and I want chocolate and to kill you and I don't know what's wrong. I can see how they would be like, well, we're going to stop this study here. The men are freaking out.
You know, I never even thought about it that way because I remember like the first month I took birth control, my emotions were effed up. Did I ever talk to you guys about the yogurt cup incident?
I want to say you and I have maybe off air.
Basically, like, it was my first month in. They're like, look, it's going to take your body a while to get used to the new influx of hormones. So just, you know, just it's normal. And then, like, I was getting a snack. I was getting a yogurt out of the fridge. And then all of a sudden, I dropped it face down on the ground. And it was a really, like, a good yogurt. And then I lost my mind, like, crying. Like, nothing's going right. And I just don't get it. I just wanted a snack and nothing's going right. And then like 5 minutes passed and I went, oh, I gotta get used to this stuff quick. I can't be crying over yogurt. You know? So yeah, that's a good point, Lynn.
It is a good point. But I don't know. I just think back of you know, like in my college years or whatever, you know, like there's a lot of hooking up, a lot of tomfoolery and whatnot, and like all the guys, like they never had condoms. It was like, you wanted to have protected sex? Oh, because right. I don't have any condoms. Okay. Then
we're done here.
Then we are done here.
Have a great day,
then we are
sir.
Done here
because
you're an idiot. So, all right.
Well, you know, birth control, the whole thought process behind birth control is you cannot get pregnant twice. So birth control gives you the sensation, your body, it tells your body you're pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And that's how you don't get pregnant.
Mm.
Okay, so it's like when you go on it and when you come off it. It's as though you had a baby.
I just went through that not too long ago.
Yeah.
It's intense.
And this is something that I really haven't, I don't think some doctors explain it sufficiently to women, because I certainly didn't know it as I was going through all the symptoms of already having a baby. And I called them up and I said, something's horribly wrong. And they said, well, of course it is. You went off your birth control 2.5 months ago. Your body thinks it had a child. And I went, well, it'd be nice if you would have told me that.
Right.
Yeah, I learned that on my own. Like, what the hell? Like, I got to Google something. I don't feel right. Something's wrong. Like, this is something's off here. It's
That's
all
really
off.
Scary because I didn't know that. And I've been on birth control for 12 years.
Yeah.
So I can only imagine that there's all sorts of issues with my hormones inside my body.
Mm-hmm. So that's what a man is experiencing. And I really, Eric is absolutely right. I never really thought about that, though, Lynn. It's like we start this 12, 13, we're accustomed to it. We know what's happening to us, but they totally don't understand. It's like, yeah, okay, now you know what it feels like to be pregnant, because basically you are.
Yeah, but they're just thrown into it. Could you imagine right now at 30 just getting your first period? Oh my! I would swear I was dead. I would swear that the devil had possessed my body.
You think you were losing your mind?
I'm gonna die any day now. I would think that, and then I'd be like, it's getting closer to the day when it's gonna come again, and I'd be like, I gotta check out of life, guys. It's over.
Between Lynn and I living together, during that time, I mean, both of us have to kind of check out. I'll wake up and we don't really see each other a whole lot in the morning, but we Snapchat each other. And I mean, there are days where the day has just so early in the day, just maybe 45 minutes in since my eyes have opened, and I'm on Snapchat like, I'm going to kill. I'm murder. Today is murder day. Murder, death, kill.
Now you two are going to be on the same schedule because you're living together.
Yeah, you've got to be all right.
It happened within the first month because I remember going, girl, you? And she was like, you? And then I was like, oh, God, we really live together now.
Yeah,
okay, now accentuate that 10 times. And that's what menopause is. Thank you very much.
No, yeah. All right. No, you guys have a long time. I don't want it. I rebuke it. Rebuke it in the name of Jesus.
There are.
I can't.
Believe me, there are times when Joe wanted and did that very thing to me as I walked through the door. It was almost a scene from The Exorcist.
He's like,
but there is a positive on the other side. So just to let you know, it's the bad ends up in so much good.
I think that my thing, just real quick on the thing with like the men, like they can't even bring condoms. Like I don't trust you to regularly, consistently take your pill, because that's at least with women, birth control, the pill basically would be 100% childproof. Except for the fact that women forget to take it. Yeah. That's like the 1% that...
It's not a pill, though. It's an injection.
Yeah, because they can't remember to take the pill every day. They're like, we just got to stick it.
So what, they got to go?
Same thing for women. I mean, you can get the injection for what, 3-6 months? I can't remember.
Yeah, something like that. I forgot about that, yeah.
Yeah, and I think that's what they're talking about, is that you just come in and get that shot and you're good to go. But once again, you got to make the appointments.
Right.
You've got to get in there. Right. And I don't, do other women have this problem with men? It's like, you have a doctor's appointment for the first time in years because you don't go. And you seem incapable of following through with an appointment.
Yep. Seem incapable of following through with anything.
So, well, I'll tell you what these guys were totally capable of. They were capable of buying an iPhone 7.
Mm.
Okay.
Which is like what, the crisp low price of $600?
So... this happened in China. This is the location of an anonymous woman with 20 boyfriends.
20.
She told her story on the internet. Well, actually, it was a woman who was telling the story about her colleague, who also gave her a false name to protect her identity. The woman asked 20 of her boyfriends to gift her with an iPhone 7. Which she subsequently sold to a cell phone recycling website for roughly $17,000. So let's pause here. $17,000 for 20 iPhone 7s?
Hey, they're brand new. They're so good.
It was enough to buy her a house.
Yes. That was the whole thing. This chick found out about it and said, I really want to buy a house. How can I afford a down payment on a house? And thus, the idea of 20 boyfriends and 20 iPhones, and she deserves a round of applause. Boss-ass bitch taking care of herself.
I mean, look, I think... everyone, like, there are a number of people in this world that are easily duped, but it's like 20 dudes.
Oh,
were
yeah.
Just,
she was
just
did she, do we know about the sexual relations with these
she
men?
She was probably just like, here's my boobs. And they're like, you know what? I love you. Love you. iPhone later. I'm going to get a little sexual action. She's like, yes, it's going to be hot, babe. They bring the iPhone. She's like, oh, I'm tired. They're dumb.
Plus, I mean, that's no different than like webcam girls who have like their lists where basically like they'll set up clients and be like, okay, I'll do this on the webcam, but then that means you have to buy me that washer dryer on my Amazon list. That's real. That's how they get paid.
It is. It absolutely is right. Yes.
Yep. I will let you watch me pour cheese on my toes and I'll massage it around, but I want a new car. And some weirdo is like,
yeah, they will totally do it because fetishes sell.
Yeah. I'm not mad at this chick. If we, as far in my mind, how I believe it is, she did not have sex. She didn't have to have sex. She just was like, hey guys, then she got 20 phones in my mind at the time.
Aren't you dying to see what this woman looks like?
I totally want to know what she looks like too.
Love to. She's probably hit up too. Watch.
No, you think?
Yeah, I think it's totally possible.
I need to do this. That's how I'm going to get my breast implants.
I don't like two guys, let alone 20. Like, I can't.
How did she juggle 20 guys?
Because she is she's probably charming. She's probably like a very charming female.
The iPhone 7 just came out, did it not?
Yeah.
So this all had to happen.
Tinder. She was on Tinder like, look at me. She's just knocking them out. Oh, if you think about it, that's actually, she's kind of a genius, and she probably has sparked a lot of ideas in people's minds, because with Tinder, it is so easy.
Well, with internet boyfriends, man.
You know what? How to lose a guy in 10 days? Why don't we do something like that here? Let's see how many boyfriends we can get.
How much crap can we get in 10 days?
Yeah, well, let's just see what happens.
I don't.
We could donate the money to charity. Oh, look at us.
Yes, and just keep money.
How do you somehow...
Is the charity my house payment?
How do you somehow, you know, come up with an iPhone before dessert? I mean, I don't get that. If you're just, how many times did she date these guys before they were just willing to say, unless she said, oh, you know what? I'd call you, but my phone broke.
You know, I could send you nudes while you're at work, but my iPhone has a really crappy camera.
Oh, that's right. That's how she did it.
That's how she did it. That's how she did it. There is no other way. That's how she did it. You know, I could send you photos and we could video and we could make movies.
But I gotta have the iPhone 7 because the camera is fantastic.
They have a great video editing program on there.
Yes. Yes. If we both had an iPhone 7, oh my God, can you imagine?
Yep.
Yeah, that's exactly how it happened. It has
genius.
To be.
Genius. Yep. Not mad at her.
All right.
No, I want to meet her. I want to meet her. I want to hang out. I want to be like, let's talk. Let me see your new pad. What's up? Crib.
What's
got a room for me?
At the crib.
Hey, Lynn, you got another box from Apple. What the hell are you ordering from the iPhone store? Nothing.
Yeah, don't mind me. I'll just have breasts very soon. I don't want a house. I want boobs.
All right. Well, boobs are fine. But, you know, we all have looked at women and said, is she really too old to be wearing that? I mean, I certainly have, especially when it comes to mini skirts or crop tops. Remember when those were in? I mean, some women that really should dress her age. But according to a survey of 2,000 Brits, women should retire their jeans at age 53. Okay, this is a real survey, which is, they said, denim is such a universal material. There's so many different styles. It's a timeless look, but some people feel that it is the domain of the young, and it should stay that way. And that once you're a certain age, that jeans should be out of your closet.
So what are you supposed to wear? Sweatpants?
I think stretch pants.
Like sweatpants, like leggings.
Certainly
like,
not yoga pants.
Well, it's clear that this person here is over the hill because she's got her sweats on throughout all the jeans. Like, I don't know. To me, that's stupid.
Well, I mean, I'm as long as they're not wearing some like low rise thing to see like their crack. And really, I don't want to see anyone's crack, right. Young or old.
Well, that's the thing. Like low rise jeans, I'll never forget the summer after I graduated high school. I went to the Warped Tour. And I'd run into a girl that I graduated with, and she was wearing low-rise jeans, and I was sitting on the ground with my friends, and she was standing up, and, like, we'd seen each other, and I was like, oh, hey, and, like, I went to, like, you know, stand up, and she was wearing, like, a short shirt, and I could see Like, her pants were so low that I could see, like, the hairline.
Oh!
Right.
Oh, God.
Right. And I was like...
And how old was she, Jade?
We were 18, 17, 18 years old. And it was like, you are really, those pants are really low, low, low.
She snuck those in her book bag after she left her parents' house, so they didn't know that that's what their daughter was wearing at warp time.
I guess. I mean, I don't know. I don't even know that she, like, realized, because she kept, like, putting her hands up, like,
oh my god,
it's so hot out. And I was like, oh my god, your crotch is out.
Well, first of all, it's amazing that you saw hair to begin with, because back in those days, pretty much Brazilians were all the rage. So
yeah, that is true, Erica.
So I'm like, wow, why did she have pubes in the first place in the mid-aughts?
It looked like it had been maybe a couple days since she had shaved. It was like short hairs. It wasn't like full long, but it was like,
God,
oh,
you saw that much?
5 o'clock shadow, yes.
Basically, yes. Yes.
Oh my god.
I know. And to this day,
you know,
I mean, that was 11 years ago, and to this day, every time I see her pop up in my newsfeed, I'm just like,
Harry crotch.
Mm-hmm. low rise pants, 5 o'clock shadow on your crotch. Yes.
So it's really about how the individual is wearing those jeans.
Yeah.
Not really about the age, because they said earlier this year, another British survey reported that women should stop wearing jeans at 47. So what is it with these surveys?
What's up with the Brits?
What's up with the Brits? I think that they also, the women that they talked to, or the people they talked to, I think they made it a point to say they were like all under the age of 30. So when you talk to a 20-year-old and you ask them, like,
you
what is
50?
Old?
Yeah,
you think someone,
no.
45. I mean, they think that is horribly old. They have no idea what that looks like. They just know that's, wow, man, you're like my mom's age.
Right.
No, you should not be wearing anything, you know.
That I'm wearing.
Exactly.
No, I don't think there should be. And there's also the rule, though, if you're a certain age, that older women have to cut their hair. And I have found, as I've gotten older, in each year it grows, that I find older women who have longer hair more beautiful than the women who cut it off to be old. Bless you. So I don't know. I think if you're comfortable and you don't look like you're a prostitute, then, like, who cares about what society says you should and shouldn't wear? I'm wearing stretch jeans right now. That's what normal 90-year-old grandmas wear, and I'm comfortable and love it.
I remember a long time ago, I was in the women's restroom, and I was putting on some makeup, and it was my birthday, and somebody was standing there. And they know, always a group of women in the women's restroom. How old are you, Anne? And I said, I'm 30. You're 30? And the look of like horror on her face, it was like, wow, I would never have guessed. And she was about 22.
Mm.
And I thought, what is 30 supposed to look like? But I also remember being her age and looking at my girlfriend, who was 8 years older, and she had just turned 32. And I was thinking, oh my God, what is it like to be 32? It's so old.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes.
What a new frontier.
That yes. Oh my God.
Does your vagina still work? Ooh,
yes.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the perception of like people looking a certain age, like it's so hard to tell people's age, because I'm 29. I get ID'd every time I go to the bar, anytime,
as you should.
If I'm trying to buy cigarettes, I get ID'd. But it's like sometimes I'm with people who are mid-30s or, you know, 37, 38, and I get this like look like, oh, baby of the group. And I'm like, don't hate me because you ain't me. Like, I moisturize this face every day. Keep this baby smooth.
Hashtag night cream.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. If you don't want to be all wrinkly, put some cream on. That's all I'm saying. I work hard to keep this youthful face.
I see women, though, who are like in their 60s and 70s, and they've got the gray hair, and they're rocking a cool pair of jeans and a button-down shirt, and I think, wow, man, they look great.
Yeah, no. That's me.
Look fantastic. Yeah. You know, and I'm just, I really admire that. Again, I think it's all about the individual and the style.
And if you're going to wear
agreed.
It with confidence.
And being classy.
Yep, and
agreed.
Wearing it with confidence.
And knowing what fits you. You know, do you look good when you walk out, or are, like you said, are these like way too low?
Right. Well, and that's the thing, Anne. Speaking of which, I mean, all of us here, we work at the radio station, a good mix of men and women, a good mix of ages here. And I've never seen you wear a pair of jeans where I'm like, I don't know about those, Anne.
Oh,
like,
you're so sweet. You look Thank good you in for all saying the, that.
All, every, you know, Aww. You always look good. No, I think Anne's very stylish. However, I will say that there are people, I will not name names, but there is someone in particular who also wears jeans, but I don't know what you're shopping for when you go shopping because they do not look good. What are you wearing? Like, where did you get those jeans? What is that? Like,
what is that?
Like, are they a size too small? Are they a length too short? I'm not sure what's wrong with
them. Because your crotch is eating them and they're up to your knees and they are not supposed to eat freeze. Excuse me, ma'am. Your vagina is eating your jeans. I'm going to need you to change those. Thank you.
But that's the, you know what I'm saying? So it is. It's about style. It's about knowing, like, when you look in the mirror, like, oh, my vagina doesn't look like they are consuming my pants. So these look good. Or if your pants are, you know, if your vagina is consuming your pants, like, maybe wear a longer shirt.
Right.
Don't wear those leggings. Because that's the thing. Like, leggings are great. Leggings are very youthful. But you got to...
You gotta cover up,
depending on the kind of leggings that you're wearing. Come on now. It's not about age.
Right.
It's about being aware of what you are showing off when you wear those pants.
Right. If you're gonna feed your vagina jeans, at least don't let us see.
Oh my God.
God.
That's true. If your vagina's eating jeans for dinner.
Yes. You don't know what mine needs.
You need to maybe double check the menu. Double check the menu.
Oh,
that's all
God.
I'm saying.
Hashtag vagina feed.
Yes.
Oh my God. That could go places, Anne. That could go places.
Oh, God.
And on that note.
Thank you so much for joining us on Weekly Reveal. I certainly hope that we've whet your appetite for another show.
All right.
So come on back once again. And remember to tell everyone you know that this is a place to get the Weekly Reveal. Thank you. Have a great week.
Thanks for listening to the Weekly Reveal on Riff 2 Detroit.